So President Ramaphosa has reportedly criticized the top five banks for their monopolistic control. Ramaphosa's comments to business leaders came after his recent endorsement of the Postbank Amendment Bill. Joining me on the line now to discuss this is KASATU's parliamentary coordinator, Matthew Parks. Welcome, Matthew. Great to have you back.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having us.
I'm betwixt and between. Maybe you can help me. If you're looking at the VBS saga of late and the shenanigans there, I'm wondering what we are opening ourselves up to if we look beyond the oligopoly that the president is maybe proposing here.
Yeah. Look, I think all the president is saying is common sense stuff, that look, we need to inject competition into the financial banking sector because that helps to keep any company on its toes, to offer better products to customers, which in this case is you and me and Joe Soap on the street, to provide more competitive products to SMEs, etc. And look, we do have a fairly concentrated banking sector with basically five big banks. And I think, it's not a question of just being conspiratorial. But if you look at the Competition Commission findings, whether it's around the rand, dollar, or the foreign exchange manipulation, and other instances, banks at times, like many other companies, have been found wanting. So I think the president just simply saying we need to have a bit more competition. But also I think the banking sector too needs to do a bit more, and the financial sector as well, to kind of move along the road of transformation. If you look at the wage gap in the banking industry, the CEOs of the banking companies make about 100,000 rand every single day of the year. A bank teller would love to make that in a single year.
Yeah.
Again, but these are companies who are not funded by the bank CEOs. They're funded by pension fund, by workers' pension funds. So I think it's simply making a call that they need to do better. We need to see a bit better competition inject into the sector.
I get you. But that's the nature of the animal in terms of earnings at the top realm, it being very significantly different on the bottom realms. But let's talk about the service that then is lacking that the president draws our attention to. And I suggest that maybe it is an oligopoly. If you look at the pricing regime, it's there or thereabouts. It's not dissimilar in a very big way. There's no real competition, especially on transactional kind of banking. Can we conclude that it is an oligopoly?
No, it is. And that's exactly why you have a Competition Commission. That's exactly why they've been found wanting at times. And it's almost inevitable when you have, well, until recently, it was four big banks. Now Capitec has made it joining it as a fifth one. But it's been a very tight-knit circle. And often you'll see a little bit of a incestuous relationship between them when the leadership of the banks kind of migrate between each other. So there's a bit of a strange thing that you can be the CEO of a bank one day, and next thing you'll be the chair of another bank a year later.
So we're going to manage it in efficacy. What the president is suggesting that there are banking services that are lacking, and he speaks specifically, to poorer communities. What is lacking? Maybe we're not seeing it from our vantage point. Maybe you have better sight of that.
No, I think there's a couple of things. I think one, you have got entire communities, whether it's a Khayelitsha or Tafelsig or Eastridge, which are basically redlined by the banks. They won't give you, or they'll be very reluctant to give you a loan, a home loan or anything like that, or even an SME loan to invest in those kind of communities, so entire communities. But just to find that many low-income earners also redlined by the banks, who are reluctant to open accounts for them, reluctant to lend them products, etc. There's a perverse scenario where the less money you have, the poorer you are, the higher the interest rate the bank will charge you for a loan, whether it's for a personal or car or home loan, etc. We've seen many bank branches of the big five closing in many rural towns, in the Northern Cape and the rural areas, et cetera, Limpopo and so forth, and just simply kind of migrating to the center. So people in Limpopo, for example, might have to travel 80 kilometers to the nearest town to find a bank branch, just to find an ATM. Hmm. So I think there is really a need for them to kind of invest more in communities, to be a bit more creative. And that's why some of the new banks wanted to come on board, some of the digital platforms too. I think Patrice Motsepe's got one, I think there's one or two others, Discovery, I think also. They haven't really gotten off the ground yet, but one would assume sometime soon. But, to inject a bit of agility and creativity and modernization of the banks too, that, look, they can't continue just to operate as they used to. But I think also, like, for example, what can they do to help pension funds, you know, recipients? It's a bizarre thing, you know. During COVID-19, we had to get the banks to waive the charges they charge to social grant recipients, and the social grants are really so small, you know, 500 rand or 1,000 rand or the 370, etc. Yet you still have a bank deducting commissions for it. So again, you know, what can they do to also contribute towards solidarity to the poorest of society as well?
Yeah. So market forces would determine exactly where the banks pitch and why. And maybe then there's an opportunity, which the president, and he has said it, he's endorsed the Postbank Amendment Bill. Maybe those products should come from some state-owned kind of banking capability. But then we've spoken before, Matthews Parks, about a capable state that is lacking. What are your views on that as a solution?
Look, you've got to always get the balance right, because, you know, the fiscus is under severe pressure. But the Postbank, it has been in a bit of an interregnum for years, that it kind of exists, that it does actually have a significant amount of customers, I think about 1 million, if I'm right. But it hasn't had the fully fledged banking license, precisely because it didn't have a separate Postbank Act. So that one has now been passed by Parliament, has been signed by the President, has come into effect a few weeks ago. So I think first that's a useful thing, because the Postbank can bring a bit of a competition, but also because it's going to utilize to a significant extent the post office footprint in rural areas, in townships, in villages, etc. It can offer, you know, products to those communities, bring some competition. Look, it'll have to make money too. The government doesn't have, you know, endless supplies of money, but we think ultimately if it gives it a bit of a support, you know, for example, why can't government utilize the Postbank as this banking provider of choice? Get a bit of liquidity there, but also just help, you know, put some really significant competition to the sector, because ultimately, why should the banks be more progressive or more inclusive if no one is competing with them, no one is forcing them to? So a Postbank, if you can achieve that alone, that'll be a wonderful contribution.
Yeah, and how would the market respond to that? Let's just say government opens this Postbank, and I'm worried about it because capable state is not something that we can claim at this particular moment in time. We got 1.3 million civil service servants, salaries going in there. I used to have, my very first bank account was with the post office. I remember that pink book of mine. So it has a credible record of banking in this particular country, but it's obviously going to take a lot to leapfrog it into the present.
Yeah, and look, government's got to, you know, allow management to go and run it as management needs to run it. So the days of government kind of micromanaging SOEs, that can't continue. You've got to have competent management. But I think government also needs to come to the party and say, look, we'll be your number one customer of choice, because you'll find the commercial banks, the big ones, they fight over themselves to host government's bank accounts because there's significant cash flows, liquidity, etc. And if you can inject that without allowing corruption, so corruption must be a zero tolerance towards corruption at all times, but that, you know, can enable it to get off its feet. But we think it can be done. The fact that you got private guys like Discovery and Patrice Motsepe's company coming on board, it shows you that if you do get the right people, etc., you can do it. And why shouldn't government do that as well? It needs to do that. There needs to be a cultural shift in how government runs SOEs and entities. They become efficient. And they were once efficient, like you were saying, not so long ago. And they can be turned around with competent management. If you look at, for example, the South African Revenue Service, simply by appointing competent management, investing in staff and IT capacity, etc., and doing what needs to be done, it's turning itself around in a very remarkable way. And that's can be done with the Postbank as well.
It's going to require a paradigm shift, competent management. Do you think we are capable of that paradigm shift, given our relatively young age as a democracy?
No, we are, without a doubt. I mean, until about a decade ago, South Africa was on the right path. The state was doing well. If you look at, for example, the things we take for granted today, the rolling out of social grants, the modernization of the Home Affairs, you know, world-class universities, even all of our SOEs, whether it's Transnet or Eskom, they were respected internationally until about a decade ago, when we all know what happened with state capture. I think SARS is showing you that if you go back to the basics, competent management, you don't interfere with operational issues, you give them the resources they need, and you let them do what they need to do, it can happen. And we can see green shoots moving.
I hear you.
We've got to be rooted on it.
So,
we can't.
We got a banking sector that is revered by its peers in the world. It is rated up there. I don't think our issues are around transactional banking and the costs attributable to transactional banking, but our issues, and I think the issues, the elephant in the room is the extension of credit, and some communities do not see that kind of benefits flowing from the big five. Is it not possible for government maybe to extend the kind of guarantees to the private sector in order for that to flow, rather than investing in a new capability and a new infrastructure and a complete bank?
I think that also has to be done simultaneously. Remember during COVID 19, 2020, 2021, we had that loan guarantee scheme where government did exactly that. They stood surety for about 200 billion rand.
Yeah, but nothing happened. Nobody got any money.
Yeah, the take-up was about 10% of it. It was pitiful, and largely because the banks put so much excessive criteria. And even when those were relaxed, the criteria just wasn't appetizing enough. So, you know.
But surely if you're guaranteeing it, you must negotiate those criteria. So again, government failed.
No, and they needed to be much more creative. And at the end of the day, you could even just see Treasury was just not that interested in it, and it basically didn't show much appetite to do what government actually wanted to do, which society was keen on. But look, that can be a useful learning experience too, and we should look at internationally what have other countries done, because we're not the only country to have economic challenges, we're the only countries to struggle with stagnant growth rates, etc. And other countries do. They do have a strategic, a smart relationship between the public banks and the private banks, between the state and the banking institutions. We need to do something, because right now, the amount of support we give to SMEs, the amount of growth we've seen in SMEs is not enough to really absorb our high levels of unemployment, and that really should give us sleepless nights.
But if you look at the Capitec model that you have, you've referred to as now being part of the top five banking brands in the country, that came off the back of competition, of reduced costs to the consumer, and it was snapped up. So surely there's an appetite for a bank with that kind of ethos of competition.
Yeah, no, the Capitec thing was quite positive because it specifically targeted low income earners, tried to reduce rates, the no frills approach, et cetera, open up branches in some, you know, marginalized communities. So that's a useful thing. That's an indicator one can build upon those kind of initiatives. You know, one can really expand both in the public and the private banks. But we also need to see the mainstream, the previous four big banks, come to the party too, because at times you can see they don't really make an effort. And at times they also abuse their position. So you have a payday lending company, a couple of them, but let's say the big one, a Direct Access. So you go to FNB for your loan, personal loan. They tell you you're not credit worthy. You then go to Direct Access, who has got much less stringent criteria. They tell you, no, you are credit worthy, but we're going to charge you twice the interest rate that a mainstream bank would have charged you. And it's fine. You're desperate. You do it. But then, you know who owns Direct Access? It's the very same FNB. So, and they're not the only one who are guilty. There are many other payday lending companies too. And again, you should be saying, but why are we not actually channeling?
We've got to wrap. So they're hedging their risk, and that's why you, as a poorer member of society, you're paying a little more than where the risk is maybe not as qualified, but. We're going to have to wrap it there. Clearly a lot more to discuss on this particular front. What kind of banking reform? I'd like to see less transactional costs now that economies of scale have been achieved. It needs to move in the other direction. And let's hope there's a concerted effort to deliver that to the consumer.